in Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13 is a chapter filled with stories, what are called parables. Parables are comparisons where Jesus takes an earthly story and infuses it with a heavenly meaning. Parables are constructed in such a way that if you really want truth, it's open to you. But if you don't want truth, it's hidden from you. One of those parables is a one-verse parable, chapter 13, verse 44, that says this: "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all that he had and bought that field." For the last 10 or 15 minutes, we've had a chance to watch our children, our youth and our young adults, zip all over the sanctuary and into the foyer looking for a treasure. And I am sure that at the end of the service, they will enjoy their treasure. There might even be a few extra for you as well. So be sitting there for you. But I want to talk today about a different treasure. A treasure hunt that God calls us to take part in. And it is a treasure that is much more valuable than some chocolate candy or some Rice Krispie treats. The treasure of which I speak is nothing less than the Lord himself. Over in Jeremiah chapter 31, the Lord says through the prophet, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you," declares the Lord. The Lord's desire is for us to go on a treasure hunt where he is the objective. He is the one that we're trying to find. This connects back to what I shared last week, that God's desire is to find a people. When he created the universe and he created us, he created us in such a way that we would reflect his glory, and he created us so that we would worship him, be in relationship with him, seek him, and enjoy him forever. The problem, however, is that, well, one other verse first, then we'll come back to that. In Acts 17, confirmed by the Apostle Paul, Paul says this: "The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth. He does not live in temples built by hands. He's not served by human hands as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. From one man, he made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live." Verse 27, "God did this so that people would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us." God's desire is that we would seek him, find him, enjoy a relationship with him. The problem, however, is that humanity can't make the first move. God has to make the first move. I know that because Jesus implies it in John 6, where he says that no one can come to me unless the Father draws him. Unless God takes the initiative, we're not going to be able to get to God. And that's because of what we looked at during our series on foundations. It's because of sin. You look at Ephesians 2. "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath." That when we, as humanity, when Adam and Eve sinned against God, we became spiritually dead, spiritually insensitive to the things of God. Rather than running to God, humanity ran from God. You know, when we looked at Genesis, when Adam and Eve sinned against God, they wanted to hide themselves from each other. They used fig leaves. Then they wanted to hide themselves from God. They hid in the trees. It was not Adam and Eve who sought out God. It was God who sought out Adam and Eve and said, "Adam, where are you?" From the very beginning, God has been searching. God has been seeking us. And when God sent his son Jesus to this earth, Jesus continued this search and rescue operation. It says in Luke 19 that the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. Jesus told parables about the lost sheep, about the lost coin, about the lost sons, because it was his mission, his passion, to reach the lost and bring them back into relationship with God the Father. You see, God did make the first move in the treasure hunt. He sought you. He sought me. That God saw in humanity a treasure that he wanted to have. And it says in Romans 5:8 that God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God took the initiative to reach us. God longed for us. In fact, if you go back to that Ephesians passage, after talking about how dead we were, he then says in verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ Jesus. That even though we were dead in our sins, he made us alive. By grace, you've been saved. So God took the initiative. God had to take the initiative because we would never have done that on our own. But God took the initiative, and having taken the initiative, he now says, your turn. You seek the treasure. You seek me. I've sought you. Now it's your turn. You draw near to me. You seek after me. And we are to seek him, first of all, purposefully. It isn't a haphazard thing. It's an intentional choice to seek God. The prophets say, seek the Lord while he may be found. That we are called purposefully to seek him. It says in Jeremiah, that passage there, 31, it says, you will seek me and you will find me when you seek me. So we begin with a purposeful seeking of God himself. But not only is it purposeful, it needs to be a passionate seeking. It says in Jeremiah, if you seek me, you'll find me when you search for me with all your heart. It's not enough for us just to seek him on a, well, you know, it's convenient, so I'll seek him now. I got other things that are more important, and maybe I'll get to it when it's convenient. No, we passionately seek after the Lord. There's a parable that Jesus told also in Matthew 13 about the sower sowing some seed. And he talked about the seed falling on some hard ground, the path. He had some seed thrown on where rocky soil, and then there was some seed thrown into where thorns grew. And the seed started to grow, but then it got choked out by the cares of the world. We know in the culture in which we live, there are always things clamoring for our attention. There are things, possessions. There is power and prestige. There's position. There's people. There's always something saying, give me your time. Yeah. Always say, give me your attention, give me your money, give me your time. So unless we purposefully and passionately seek the Lord with our whole heart, we're not going to get there. Paul put it really well in Philippians chapter 3 when he said this. Verse 7. Whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. The Apostle Paul knew what it was like to pursue a righteousness on his own, and when he came face to face with Jesus Christ, he realized everything he thought was important wasn't. And then he discovered that everything he thought wasn't important was. And in that moment, his priorities changed. From that moment on, Paul's passion was, on a daily basis, I want to know Christ. It wasn't enough for Paul just to exist through life and do church on Sunday. Paul wanted Christ every day. Paul wanted his life to revolve around Christ. Paul did not want himself to be the center of the universe and he tried to fit God in. Paul wanted Christ to be the center of the universe and Paul fit in with Christ. I am so thankful that the Holy Spirit leads Kurt and the team because he sang a song today. The first song mentioned the treasure and the second one mentioned, I want to know you more. I'm sitting there going, oh God, you are so cool. How God orchestrated this. That Paul's passion is, I want to know him. I don't want to get to the end of my life and not have known the Lord. I don't want to get to the end of my life and accumulate all the titles and all the prestige and all the numbers and all the finances and not know the Lord. I don't want my life to have a convenient knowing. I want to passionately know him. I want to purposefully know him. But finally, I also want to persistently know him. Look what Paul says in Philippians 3 again, verse 12. Not that I obtained or I've already obtained all this or I've already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. For Paul, Christ, the kingdom and Christ was his consuming passion. Our kids spent time running around to try to find something that will eventually pass away. We're called to pursue a treasure that cannot pass away. We're called to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not corrupt and where thieves do not break in and steal. We're called to lay up heavenly treasures. Now today, our kids had a chance to teach you an object lesson. Because we might say, all right, Pastor Ray, I got it. You made your point. I need to pursue the Lord. I need to seek him as a treasure. So how do I do that? You've given me the what? Give me the how. Well, we showed you. Because what did the kids, the youth, and young adults use to find the treasure? The Word of God. The Word of God is God's treasure map. Moses said in the book of Exodus, teach me your ways so that I might know you. That the written word reveals the living word. And that as we spend time studying the precepts, the principles, what we'll discover is they lead us to the person. They lead us to the author of the book. Now, interesting enough, if you recall, I gave instructions to the group on how they were to do the treasure hunt. They didn't do so well following those instructions, did they? Because I said, make sure you do them in order, and then you will combine. And if they had followed that, 1A, 2B, 3C, 4D, 5E, 6F, they would have simply spelled out P. Ray's pulpit in order. God has given us instructions that when followed will lead us to the treasure. But not only did they have the instructions to lead them, they also had your help. Same thing with us, that when we don't know where we're going, we have prayer and the Holy Spirit that will direct us. Now, what I found interesting is that the teams thought they could fill it out and figure it out themselves. They didn't really ask for a lot of help from everybody else around them. And often in our lives, we don't always pray and ask help of the Holy Spirit to know how to find the treasure. We just figure that we can figure it out. But God has given us his word, and he's given us the Holy Spirit who inspired the word, that with the word and the Spirit, through prayer, we can discover and find the treasure that God has for us. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who finds a treasure in the field. He then goes and sells all that he has to buy that field. Because that treasure was so valuable. More valuable than chocolate. More valuable than Rice Krispie treats. more valuable than anything this world has to offer. And so I encourage you today, don't wait for a convenient time, but today, make it your purposeful choice, your passionate choice, your persistent choice. I want to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for hidden treasure. Thank you for the message lived out through our children, youth, and young adults, encouraging us to purposefully, passionately, and persistently seek you, with the promise that when we seek you, we'll find you, when we search for you with all of our hearts. There is nothing more important, Lord, than knowing you. We want to know you more. We want to touch you. We want to hear your voice. We want to see you, Lord. We don't want a convenient pursuit. We don't want a take-it-or-leave-it pursuit. But, Lord, we want that pursuit that marks us, that we are marked by those who are seeking you. I pray for those here, Lord, who have never experienced the good news of Jesus Christ. They haven't heard the news that you're looking for them. Maybe for them, God is kind of out there, or maybe God is someone they run from. I pray today they were encouraged by your grace, that you've already made the first move. You've been looking for them. And that's because you don't want anyone to perish, and you don't take delight in the death of the sinner. That you want people restored. You want people to come home. And I pray if there's anyone here in that place, that you would draw them by your Spirit. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.